Good morning, and I welcome you to worship on this, the fourth Sunday in the month of June, to Murfreesboro Baptist Church. Good to see you all again. I think I do have a better voice today than I had a couple of weeks ago. That coughing has now found its way to leave me, and I'm very grateful that it has, and I can be here this morning as well. If you're a visitor today, welcome to you. Hope you find a warm and welcoming church here as we worship together. A number of you have asked, and I'll just go ahead and say it, where is Linda? I always want to see Linda. I even saw people kind of sad when they found out Linda wasn't with me. So it's we always go together. But Linda is playing the piano at First Baptist Ahoskie this morning. They're a pianist, wanted a Sunday off, and so Linda was asked if she would play there today. And a week ago, she played at the Episcopal Church in Ahoskie, so she's making the rounds playing the piano in Ahoskie. But so that's why she is not with me today. I just want to make sure y'all get that right off the bat. There are a number of announcements that are listed on the back of the worship bulletin, particularly getting ready for Vacation Bible School. But you can see other information that is there. And certainly I hope you'll pay close attention to this and find your place to be involved in the various life and ministry of this good church. We're here to worship the Lord this morning. And we've begun by the beautiful prelude. And I would ask you now to join in singing together the choral call to worship, Rejoice in the Lord Always. Spoken call to worship. Welcome. This is the time we gather to celebrate and worship God who loves us.
We come grateful and thankful for all God's blessings in our lives.
We gather today to remember that Christ gave his life for us.
We humbly praise God for the love and sacrifice of Christ.
Come, church, come and worship the God of love and hope. Heavenly Father, we gather in the wonderful and life-changing name of Jesus Christ to worship you this day. We give thanks to you, God, for your greatness and your glory, your majesty and your power. And most of all, your love for us, and you've shown us that love in Christ. Father, we come to be focused on you in this hour, and I pray that we put aside thoughts of matters in the week behind us and things that may be on our mind in the week ahead, and we spend this time with our hearts and our minds focused on you in worship. Bless this time, Lord. Speak to our hearts in this time. Encourage us and challenge us in this time. For we worship in Jesus' name. Amen. We sing hymn number 296, Brethren, We Have Met to Worship.
makes you afraid, Jack?
Scary stuff.
Scary stuff. What about you, Winslow? Bugs. Well, then you wouldn't have been happy because we had a dead bug in the nursery this morning. And that was Jacqueline's thing. She walked in the playroom and came running back about the dead bug. But we got the dead bug and I took care of it. So things scare us, right?
Sometimes.
Sometimes things scare us. Things scare any of y'all? Yeah. So everybody, no matter how big or how little you are, gets scared at times. But who's going to take care of us?
Jesus.
Jesus and? God. They're always going to take care of us. They're not even going to let anything happen to a sparrow. What's a sparrow? A bird. And a lot of people would consider a sparrow a common bird because there's a lot of sparrows around. And some people say, God must have loved the common people because he made so many of them. I don't think that God sees us as common or ordinary. Do you think God sees us as common or ordinary?
No.
No. If he did, he would not love us in such an uncommon and extraordinary way. The Bible says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. We are more precious to him than a whole flock of sparrows, and we know how much he loves the sparrow. So let's say a prayer, because we know he's always going to take care of us. Dear God, we know that we are precious in your sight. Thank you for loving us with such an uncommon and extraordinary love. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Old Testament reading this morning is found in the book of Psalms, the 86th Psalm, verses 1 through 10. Hear me, Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I call to you all the day long. Bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. When I'm in distress, I call to you because you answer me. Among the gods, there is none like you, Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, Lord. They will bring glory to your name, for you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. The word of God for the people of God. There are none listed on our prayer sheet today as far as prayer concerns, and yet you'll find those that are listed on the back of the bulletin that are unable to be here and worship with us. And I'm sure there are others that are on your hearts that you think about in this time that we pray for one another. So let's bow together. Hear, O God, the prayers of our hearts, many that are on our hearts and on our minds with special needs, those that are suffering physically, people that are struggling mentally, and people that are having their own spiritual issues. We acknowledge that you are indeed a God of love and a God of hope. We acknowledge that you're a God of healing, where miracles continue to take place beyond our explanation. And we claim in Christ your power to work in the lives of people who have such needs this day. Lord, we pray for your love and your power over our land, over our world, Lord, where there's so many challenges and so many crises. But Lord, we pray especially your blessings and your hand on this church in these days, in this interim period, where many matters are before this congregation to make decisions about. And we just ask, Lord, for you to watch over this congregation and guide and lead those that are in leadership and in service to make good decisions that will continue to give strength and meaning and purpose to what takes place here at Murfreesboro Baptist Church. Lord, we gather, we worship, we praise you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We sing hymn number 349, To God Be the Glory. As followers of Jesus Christ, stewardship's a command on us, and that is that we are faithful with our tithes and offerings, we're faithful with our time, we're faithful with our talent, that all of it used together to build up God's kingdom here on earth. So let us now give. Thank you. Father, as we come now to bring these gifts and lay them on this altar, God, it's a sign of our love for you, and it's a sign of obedience to your call on us to be faithful and good stewards. And God, I pray that these gifts are used for your purpose and yours alone, that you'll bless these gifts and multiply them, Lord, that they support the ministries of this church, in this community, and beyond. In Christ I pray. Amen. Our New Testament reading for the morning comes from the book of 1 Thessalonians, Paul's letter to the church. Begin with verse 1 through verse 10. To the church in Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all you do, for all of you, and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols and served the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. The word of the Lord. Thank you. That's one of my many favorite praise choruses. If I'd known you'd do that, I would have sung with you. We'd have had four. When you hear the word reputation, what comes to your mind? What comes to my mind is a person's good name, or the flip side of that could be a person's not so good, right? They could have a poor reputation. You think about reputation, you do think about a person. Sometimes you think about the work they do, because their reputation can sometimes be defined by their work. It can be how a person is really defined in so many different ways. And a reputation will follow you wherever you go. People get reputations in the town that they live in. Even preachers will get reputations in the churches that they serve, and in the community as well. Like I say, we might get a reputation just out of the work that we do, because we might do exceptional work, and the word gets around that, you know, he does good work, she does good work. Or the reputation could be reversed. No, you don't want to do any business with them, because they just don't have a good reputation in town. I'm sure when I think about my 19 years that I served as the vice president for student life at Cameron University, I had a reputation on campus for sure. Hopefully it was good in many ways. I don't know if it was good in every way. There were a few students that probably would have created a reputation for me because of the way that I handled conduct on campus or managed parking or those kind of matters, where sometimes it didn't always go well with a certain student. I feel also pretty certain that I got reputations out of churches that I served. There's just no way I could have spent the time I spent in churches without getting some kind of reputation. And it takes years, think about it. I've heard it said before, it takes years to build a good reputation, but you can destroy it in a matter of minutes with a bad decision. Businesses develop reputations, communities develop reputations, churches develop reputations. Think about it. What are people looking for when they look for a church, and what kind of reputation do they really want to hear other people talk about with respect to that church? They want to know what kind of church it is in the community, what people say about it. Maybe even the candidate to be your next pastor would be asking the question, what kind of reputation does Murfreesboro Baptist Church have in the community? Is it a warm and friendly church? Is it a church that is focused on different groups of people? Is it a church that has a mindset and a passion for outreach? Is it a church that supports women in leadership? Is it a church where there are well-kept facilities? Is it a church that addresses challenging issues in our world today? That kind of reputation. Or is the reputation out there that it could be a church filled with problems? You've heard of churches that people talk about that can't keep a minister, or they just don't do real well in the community. What kind of reputation does the church have? You've been in this community for a long, long time. You've been a people on mission for the Lord for a long, long time. But what would you say is your reputation today? What, in other words, are you really known for? We read in the New Testament about churches, these early churches that particularly Paul helped establish, and Paul wrote letters to either address a matter that they were struggling with in the church, or he went with words to bring them even more encouragement because of the great things that they were doing. Churches that were known for their courage, churches that were known for their strength, churches that were known because they were on mission, churches that were moving forward even in difficult times, churches, these young churches in the New Testament that were striving even under a lot of pressure. They shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. They worked hard to advance the kingdom of God on earth. Think about the challenges we face today. Think about the obstacles that we face today. How strong are we as a church? And is our reputation out there that this is really a strong church in the face of all these challenges that are before us today? In other words, what kind of reputation do you have? This church in Thessalonica here that Paul writes about had a good reputation, a very positive reputation. Paul even calls it a model church in verse 7. This is a model church that had just gotten started and was moving along. And it was known for some important matters that I believe that this church and other churches, all churches, ought to be known for today. As we come to understand the church that was birthed in Thessalonica, Paul went there on his second missionary journey around 50 AD. And then Luke, one of Paul's mission recorders who wrote so much about the life of Paul, he writes in a concise way about how things got started in Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. And the church really fit the profile of what Paul would say is a healthy church. They were people that believed in Jesus being the Messiah. They were people that had everything else about their life and priorities under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And he considered them to be a model church. That's got to be important if you're looking for a church or already in a church today. You want to be in a church that has a reputation that believes first and foremost that Christ is Messiah. And that everything that's done in the life and ministry of the church is done under the lordship of Jesus Christ. It's not a reputation about how many people are in church on Sunday. It's not a reputation about an annual budget. It's not a reputation about how well your church's website is managed or how much money is given on Sunday morning. It's not a reputation about the buildings. It's not a reputation even about leadership. I believe in verse 3 right here in 1 Thessalonians, Paul gives us what kind of reputation we ought to be known for as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's three things that he says about this church in verse 3. It's a church of faith. It's a church of hope. It's a church of love. That's what Paul says these people are known for. They're a church of faith, they're a church of hope, and they're a church of love. Sounds like 1 Corinthians 13, doesn't it? What he's writing about. What should the church be known for? A church of faith. I read from the New International Version of the Scriptures, and the NIV translates these verses from Greek, the work produced by faith, or your work of faith. The work of faith does not refer to the works you do resulting from faith, but it was their decision to believe in Jesus Christ. And he says, your reputation is to be known everywhere that you are a faithful group of people, that you're a people of faith. The reputation, he says, that is so important is that you've confessed your sins. You've acknowledged your sins. You've repented from your sins. And you've turned your lives to God through a faith commitment in Jesus Christ. And you're in the business because of your faith, of sharing the faith and turning other people's lives into something really incredible as you serve this wonderful God who's turned your life around in Christ. So this church is known there early on in Thessalonica as a church of faith, a group of people that believe Jesus Christ is Lord. As they lived out this life of faith, it became their work. It became their service. Because faith is active. I don't think faith is passive. I don't think we acknowledge our faith in Jesus Christ and then we just bottle it up inside and we keep it to ourselves. Our faith in Jesus Christ causes us to be active, causes us to want to do something. It's not just a matter of prayer or a matter of conviction. It's a matter of serving others. And through this work of faith in Jesus Christ, you become energized to serve. And it becomes a part of your reputation. So what kind of work are you known for? A church that participates in mission projects here in town, mission opportunities here in the community and often beyond. That's evidence of your faith. You don't just make a statement, I believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You put that statement into action. You don't just attend church. You believe that you're a mission-minded church and have been all along, and you take this message, this good news, this word, this love of God to others who need to hear a good word as well. It's not that you just belong here and your time and energy and resources are all spent here. You use them outside the church in the community. In verse 8, Paul writes that the faith of these Christians became known everywhere. It was a church of faith. And he makes it clear to them, your faith has become known everywhere. Is that true of Murfreesboro Baptist Church? Your faith in Jesus Christ is known in this community and beyond? What kind of reputation do you have? Are you known as a church of faith? But not only that, Paul writes in this letter here to this church, they were also known because of the labor of love. They were a church of love. You put your faith in Jesus Christ, you experience that life-changing happening in your own life, and you become a people of love. And you share that love. And it motivates you to give that love away to other people who need it. I know you to be a loving church. Years ago, I was here as a young, very inexperienced, part-time youth minister, and I was loved. You were patient with me. You shared much with me. You taught me much, and you showed me a great deal of love. You know, I came back a few years ago and served as your interim pastor, and I sensed the love of this church even then. And I just truly believe that Murfreesboro Baptist Church has a reputation in this town being a church of love. And in that love, we just serve others. See, our faith in Jesus Christ leads us to a labor of love for other people. It often comes to my mind, and every time I see a cross, I think about it. If you look at this cross here, a wooden cross on a hillside, or there's a large steel cross between Fuquay Marina and Lillington, I mean a large, massive cross in a field. And if you look at that, you think about it, there's two pieces of material there, whether it's steel or wood or whatever it's made out of. One's horizontal and one's vertical. Jesus, we know, died on a cross. But I think there's something very symbolic about how a cross is made with the horizontal and the vertical. With the horizontal, it reminds us of our love for God. Our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. We raise our eyes to the heaven. We love and honor and praise our Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. But then we see this horizontal piece that's going like this. And that says to me that there's something about you and me as followers of Jesus Christ and our love for Christ that we reach out and we love others. We live out this love for Christ as we stretch it out toward others. We're a church known by a reputation of having a love for God, but that love is lived out as we love others to the left and to the right of us. I think that's very important for us. We understand what it means to love one another. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 reads this, "May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other." In chapter 4, verse 9, it reads, "You have been taught by God to love each other." Paul made it known this church had a reputation of love. Is Murfreesboro Baptist Church known in this community as a church of love? That ought to be a part of your reputation. But then there's a third here. Paul writes that this is a church of hope. Endurance inspired by hope. Meaning it's an unwavering hope. Think about through the years, almost now 175 years, Murfreesboro Baptist Church has been a church. And I'm sure it's had its ups and its downs. It's had its challenges through the year. but has endured through the years. It has maintained who it is through the years because of the hope. It's an enduring kind of hope. Even in these days, an enduring kind of hope. It really means to hang in there. A church made up of people that will hang in there together. Keep their head above the water even when there's a storm. Keep doing what God wants you to do. You think about all that God has done for us in our lives, all the blessings of our lives. We are indeed a blessed people. What the love of Jesus Christ means to us, what the promises of God mean to us, that God will keep because he doesn't back up on his promises. We can keep this hope strong and vibrant in our lives. For the same God that worked through Jesus Christ in his death and power of his resurrection to bring good news to this world is a God that is at work in your life and in my life and in this church. He's a sovereign God. He's a loving God. And no one and nothing in all this earth can separate you or me from the love of Jesus Christ. Read that in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Are we known as a church of hope? People of hope. Not because we have a lot of answers to everything, but we are really a church of hope because we have the answer. And that answer is in Christ. He is our hope. And we put our lives and our faith and our trust in the one whom we have hope in. Again, verse 4 in chapter 1. For we know, brothers and sisters, Paul wrote, loved by God, that he has chosen you. A reputation that you're chosen by God. To be a church of faith and hope and love. And we need to always remind ourselves of this hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And never, never, never let anything shake that hope in our lives. So how are you known as a people in this community? Murfreesboro Baptist Church is a church with a reputation. And it's known in Murfreesboro and it's known beyond Murfreesboro. You set an example by your faith in Christ. You set an example and a known by your love that you have for the Lord and your love that you have for one another. And the love that you pour out in this community. You let it be known that you're a church of hope in the community as well. So think about it in these days. Are you known for being that kind of church? A people of faith, hope, and love. If I was looking at church today, I'd want to be a part of a church that had this kind of reputation. That's what I'd be looking for. It's a high calling of God to be a church like this. But that's what God is expecting of us as his people, who join themselves together under the lordship of Christ to be the church. And that ought to be the kind of reputation that you have in this community. Reputation that you're known about even over in Ahoskie and anywhere else you might go. Think about the reputation of Murfreesboro Baptist Church. Will you pray with me? God, you called this church into being long ago. You've blessed this church in all its years. And we're grateful for that, Lord. We pray for this church today and in all the years to come until the Lord returns. To be a light on a hill. To be a church that proclaims the good news of Christ to others. To be a church that touches other people's lives where they are. To be a church that opens its doors and welcomes whosoever shall come. But God, indeed, to be a church with a reputation of being a place of faith and of hope and of love. A place where that is lived out in such a powerful and life-changing way here in these important days. I pray, O God, your blessings on this church. That the reputation is not all that it needs to be, Lord. That there'd be a conviction on this congregation that would bring them to the point where they'd make those important decisions and do those important things that would build this kind of reputation that we read about in your holy word. Thanks be to you, God, for the good work you've done through the years, through what you're doing in this church right today. And thanks be to you, God, for what you will do in this church in the years to come. In Christ, the head of the church, I offer this prayer. Amen. Our invitation this morning is a very familiar hymn to us, Just As I Am. It's number 500 in the hymnal. I invite you to come this morning, and I'll be here at the front to greet you. Whatever decision you feel led of the Lord to make publicly this day, maybe you're not a member of Murfreesboro, and you've been worshiping here, and you feel this is where God wants you to have your membership. You're invited to come and make that decision known. Maybe it's a public profession of faith. Maybe it's a particular prayer request or a recommitment. Whatever it is that God has put on your heart to share this day, you're invited to come. I invite you to stand now and let's sing together.